Tears of joy. It's what it is. It's worship crying out, you know. The Bible speaks of unknown tongues. That's what that is. Crying out in the wilderness. That's better. I like that. Church, let's pray together. Lord, I thank you again, God, for this opportunity that we have to come together, to worship together, to encourage one another, to comfort each other, God, to open up the Bible, to hear your word for us today, God. Lord, it's all a gift from you. It's a gift that shows yet again that you are the good, good Father. And so, God, would you continue to be with us right here, Lord. Lord, when we got here this morning, we found you were already here. And so, God, would you continue to minister with us, to us, and through us, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You know, so it's an interesting time that we live in. There's probably many different ways to describe it, but I think interesting is probably the best. I don't know. Every time you turn on the news or pull up your email or your phone, you see something else has been canceled. The university is going to distance learning. Personally, I wouldn't be surprised if the state legislature passes something and ends the school year early. I don't know of anything, but I'm just guessing something like that will probably happen. We got sports canceled on the professional level, on the college level. And I follow a few of those things, but I feel for those college students, especially the seniors, that have worked, done all this training, all this practice, and then the tournaments are canceled. Some of them, their seasons are just canceled. I feel for them. When I'm out and about, I was at Walmart the other day, and it wasn't as crazy as I thought it would be, but you could see panic. You could see fear in the eyes of the people. A couple things you couldn't see were paper towels. I didn't see them anywhere. Toilet paper, hand sanitizer, things like that. Those are all gone. This is an interesting time that we're in, where fear has gripped so many people. And what happens, what can happen, is that when we live through chaotic times, or we're just waking up in the morning to see what has changed today, it can be easy to lose hope in the future. You see, it's hard to have a certain hope in the future when the present is full of uncertainty. I've seen people talking through social media and through friends of mine. They're trying to figure out how to get through today. They're not worried about next week, next month, or next year, but how to get through today. And when we lose hope, oh, church, we lose so, so much. You see, with hope, you have the strength to get through difficult circumstances. With hope, we can encourage one another. We can come together to support each other. With hope, we're reminded that whatever we face now, it's temporary. As the old adage goes, this too shall pass. With hope, we're reminded that God is still God. He is still the King of Kings. He is still the Lord of Lords. He is still moving and working and walking in this world. With hope, we can keep things in perspective. And so the question I want to ask today is this. If this uncertainty that we find ourselves in, if this chaotic present time that we find ourselves in, if that can take away our hope, how can we regain it? How can we keep our hope? And you know, we're not the first people to seek an answer to this question. We're not the first people to live through times of great uncertainty and look for hope. You see, Jesus' followers, his friends, they lived through a time of great uncertainty. There was a time, it was right around the Passover festival, the greatest feast of the year, where Jesus had his closest followers, his friends, they were gathered around a table. And Jesus told them, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be killed. That was a time of uncertainty for his followers. It was a time of fear, because you see, what would happen is if the Romans, when they would arrest the leader of a group, they wouldn't leave the whole group alone. No, if the leader goes down, they're coming after the followers as well. You see, that's why if you flip ahead a few chapters in the story, you see that when Jesus was arrested, his friends, his followers, they all ran because they didn't want to be taken too. And so at this dinner, where Jesus realizes he only has a few hours left on this earth, he wants to share with his friends the most important things about life. And as a church, we are looking at these and we've identified them as game changers. You see, Jesus had this way of taking the world, taking the way we perceive the world and turning it upside down. Last week, we saw that through Jesus, the path to greatness, to be really great, is to serve. If you want to be the greatest person, serve the most. Today, I want us to see how can we have our hope? How does Jesus bring us our hope? And so at this table, at this discussion, Jesus has revealed to them, he says, the very verse that is on our foyer out here as you walk in, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. His friends were wondering, they're asking Jesus, how do we get to the Father? And Jesus says, it is through me. And then his friends, they ask some questions. They say, well, we don't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way. And then one of them, you can tell that he's beginning to lose hope, because then he says to Jesus, he says, Jesus, show us the Father. Now, earlier, they had all agreed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior. He was God made flesh that had come into the world. But now, they're beginning to doubt. And so they say, Jesus, show us the Father. We need a certain hope in the midst of our uncertainty. And so Jesus, he tells them this. He says, believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Jesus reminds them, your hope in me is secure. And he says, if you don't believe me, if you're having trouble with my words, look at my works. Look at what I have done. Look at the miracles of Jesus. Now, if you read through the Gospels, you find all kinds of miracles. What do you see? What are some of the miracles that Jesus did when he walked this earth? He healed people. That's a big deal. He pointed people to God. That's a big deal. He brought salvation for people. He raised Lazarus from the dead after being in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus did some great works. And he's telling those closest to them. He says, if you're struggling with my words, notice he doesn't chide them for that. I find that interesting. He doesn't beat them up for struggling with hope. Instead, he encourages them and he comforts them. And he says, if you're struggling with what I'm saying, look at what I've done. Who could do such things? Only God made flesh. And then he moves on, and we start to see this game changer that Jesus gave them. He then says this. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. Jesus tells his disciples they're going to do greater things than he did. Jesus says to us today that we can do greater works than he did. How is that possible, church? How is it that Jesus, who worked all these miracles that we just talked about, how can he say that his followers were going to do even greater ones than him? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. Jesus has just told them, I'm going to be killed. Earlier, he's told them he's going to resurrect. He will rise again on the third day. And when Jesus did that, church, that's where the power came from. You see, all the works that we do today, the power for them, it doesn't come from how hard we try or how well we plan it out or anything in that that we are putting forth. The power that we have today is the power of the cross. It's the power of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, he claimed all power for himself. It says that God has given all authority to the Son. You see, when Jesus rose from the dead, the power of evil was broken. When Jesus rose from the dead, the power of the devil was broken. When Jesus rose from the dead, the power of death itself was broken. And so we can do greater works because of the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection, church. We just need to access that power. Now, what are these greater works? Does that mean if Jesus healed 20 people, we can heal 25? No, I don't think that's what it means. I think the greater works that Jesus was talking about lies in the fact that the grace of God, the message of Jesus, has gone out over the entire world. You know, we want to know the most diverse group of people in the history of the earth, the history of humanity? It's the Christian church. You might not hear that from news or from newspapers or anything like that, but the church, the Christian church, is the most diverse community that's ever existed. The Christian church exists on every continent. There are believers reportedly within every country in the world. The Christian church is made up of people from all kinds of backgrounds, people from all kinds of races and ethnic identities, rich people, poor people, people from all ages, from all walks in life come together under Christ. The Christian church has been growing constantly and steadily since the time of Christ, and it will continue to grow until Jesus comes again. The power of the church, the power of the community of believers, it's based on the cross, it's based on the resurrection of Jesus, and it is greater in the sense of it's taking the message of Jesus, the power of Jesus, and it's taking it throughout the entire world. We live in exciting times, oh church. Jesus says that first the gospel of the kingdom must be preached throughout the entire world, and then the end will come. The great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples is to take that message and spread it all over the world, and that's happening, church. That's happening all around us. When Jesus says that we can do greater works than even he did when he walked this earth, it's through taking his power and revealing it to people all over the world. So how do we access that power? How do we do these greater things that Jesus promised us? I find it very interesting. Jesus says that we can do greater things than he did, and then he immediately says this. He says, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Our certain hope in this time of uncertainty is through prayer. Our access to the power of God is through prayer. Prayer reminds us of the great hope that we have in Jesus, no matter what's going on around us. You know, this COVID-19 pandemic, this outbreak, this isn't the first time that you've experienced chaos in your life, is it? It's probably not the first time this week you've experienced chaos in your life. Life is full of uncertainty. But our hope, our certain hope has always been the same. Jesus. Our access to that hope has always been the same. It's through prayer. Through seeking God in prayer. Give yourself to prayer. Oh, church. That is where we access the strength and the peace of God. You see, the game changer is this, that we accomplish most in our lives when we pray. When we set time aside for God, that's when we have the power. Now, when it says here, Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Notice there's a little clarification. There's a caveat there that Jesus calls us to pray in his name. Now, when some people pray, when I pray, you'll hear me say in Jesus' name, amen. What does that mean? Is that just a way to tell everybody, hey, prayer is over, we're moving on? No. What does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? That means we're praying in his power. We're praying in the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. It means we're praying from a heart that has been forever changed by Jesus. It means we're praying to the best of our ability according to his will. How do you know the will of God? Well, prayer tells you the will of God. God's word tells you the will of God. You can learn God's will from being connected with his people. Now, if you're in a situation and if you're trying to pray for it and you don't know how to pray, just ask yourself, how would an all-loving, faithful God pray in this situation? And that'll at least get you pointed in the right direction. You might not end up at the perfect answer, and that's okay. But it'll point you in the right direction. And God will answer. He doesn't always answer in the way we expect. He doesn't always answer in the way we even desire. But he does answer. And the fact that we can rest on is this, that God answers in the same way you would if you knew what he does. You see, when we approach God in prayer, we're approaching through a limited knowledge. We only know our perspective of what's going on. Whereas God, who is outside of time, God who knows all, God who is everywhere at the same time, the God that can hear everybody's prayers at the same time and understand all of them, I think it's fair to say he knows more about the situations than we do. And he answers them the same way we would if we knew what he knows. Give yourself to prayer, church. That's what I mean when I say we're going to respond out of faith. Now, if prayer is how we gain access to God, if prayer is how we accomplish most in our lives, is prayer all we need to do? Well, no. God calls us to live out our prayers. You see, when we pray in the power of Jesus, from the power of the cross, when we pray in Jesus' name, we are empowered to live out that which we are praying for. An example of that is this. If you've lost your job, pray. Ask God. Say, God, I need a job. I need to be able to provide. And then when you say amen, go out and fill out job applications. Do all you can to go find one. And trust that God's going to provide. No one would pray that God would give them a job and then sit on their couch all day. It doesn't make any sense. Pray. And then live out that prayer that you gave to God. What that looks like here at the church, what that looks like here for this COVID-19 that we're navigating together, we're going to pray that God would protect us. Pray for the health of your family members. Pray for the health of the people you know that are at risk, those with underlying conditions, the elderly, the really young. Pray for them. And then also live out that prayer. If you go and visit them, wash your hands first. Bring them a roll of toilet paper if you happen to have one. In Jesus' name, you know. I say, it could be a new outreach at the church, you know. TP from CP, that'll work right there. It's not even in the notes. I just thought of it. But bless them. If you're experiencing symptoms of the flu or symptoms of any virus infection, the best way to love somebody is to stay home. Make sure they don't catch whatever it is you have. And it might not be that person you're visiting directly. You know, if you're a teacher here and if you're sick with something, the best way to love and to care for our kids here is to stay home. Because you might not get them sick, but then they might carry your stuff when they go and see grandma. And that's where the issue comes. Now, as I've mentioned, this week I'll send you a few of the things that we're doing here at church to address this concern. But for now, I want you to see that we respond in faith, not fear, not panic, and we respond with wisdom. We respond responsibly, living out that which we are praying for when we seek God. Because that's where the power is, church. And let me say this too. If you're here and if you're not a part of a small group, now it is vital to be a part of one. Because if the large gatherings that we have, if they become untenable for a temporary basis, the place where you're going to find care, the place where you're going to find spiritual community, it's in your small group. Another way to connect with people is look around. Who's here that you know that's missing? Give them a call today. Just check on them. I thought of you today. I noticed you didn't make it in. Are you doing okay? All right, we're not going to guilt trip anybody. Everybody's navigating this on their own. But we want to be about it together. And so let them know that you missed them. Make that connection there. The last thing we want as a church is for people to feel isolated. The church is called to be a community that exists wherever we find ourselves. We don't want anyone to feel isolated. And so be a part of your small group. If you're in a small group, press in. If you're a leader in your small group, now's the time we need you. We need you now more than any other time. Help everyone feel connected to the body of Christ. Now, if we can live out our prayers, this is the living wisely that I'm talking about, how shall we pray? You know, I've sat through and I've been in talks before where the preacher tells us we need to pray, 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 and pray. And this is especially when I first started following Christ. And I was sitting down and I said, that's great. How do I do it? How do I pray? Well, if you're here and if you have an amazing prayer life, God bless you. Keep going. But if you're here and as I'm talking about the power that comes through prayer and you're thinking, I've never experienced power in prayer. Or maybe you're thinking, why pray at all? What's the point? Where does it come from? What does it even look like? Here's something I want to show you. This is something I picked up entitled The Pocket Prayer, and I made a few tweaks to it. The idea behind it is that when you search the scriptures, when you look through the Bible, there's many, many, many recorded prayers inside, and they all kind of fit this template. Either parts of it or the whole thing, but they can all be summarized in a pocket prayer, something you can take with you, something real simple. And it goes like this. Father, you are good. Didn't we sing about that just a few moments ago? I've messed up. Forgive me. I need help. They need help. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean, each phrase that we have there? It means that when we start prayer, Father, you are good. Remind yourself of the goodness of God. Remind yourself of all the blessings that He has given you, all the gifts that He has given you. Remind yourself of everything God has done in your life and through your life. Remind yourself that no matter what happens around you, God is good. Father, you are good. I've messed up. Whenever I begin to think about the goodness of God, my thoughts immediately point out that I'm not, that I have fallen short, I have struggled. Take time, confess your sins to God. And sin is anything that separates you from God. And when you do this, this is vital, by the way, church. When you do this, don't say, yeah, God, I've messed up, but you already know what the all are, so I'm moving on. God knows your sins. In fact, he knows all the ones you've forgotten about. So it's not like you're telling God something he doesn't know. But the power comes from taking a sin, an area where you've messed up, and looking at it and saying, God, I was harsh with my children yesterday. I was upset because of work, and I came home and I yelled at them because they didn't pick up the crayons quick enough. I took my anger out on them. Forgive me, God. When you do that, that sin that you're looking at, you'll begin to see it cast away. The Bible says that God takes our sins and throws them away from us. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Or take out an area where you feel like you're falling short. God, at work today, I haven't been giving my best. I slacked off, I took extra breaks, and I tried to leave early. I lied to my boss to get out of doing what they wanted me to do. Forgive me, Lord, and see that be cast away from you. Power in your relationship to God comes from confession, from bearing your sins to him and realizing and accepting he's forgiven you. When Jesus died on the cross some 2,000 years ago, he didn't do that just to forgive the sins that were committed up until that time. He did that to forgive the sins, all the sins that will ever be committed to anyone that turns to him. You see, the work of Jesus on the cross, it was for the past and it was also for the future. Everything we've ever done is in the future from the time of the cross. And so Jesus has already accomplished forgiveness for your sins. And so turn to him and receive that forgiveness. And simply say, I've messed up. Forgive me. I need help. This is what we often think of in prayer. We bring our needs to God. Maybe you're here and you're in need of healing. God, I need to be healed. Maybe you're here and you're in need of a job. God, I need a job. Maybe you're here and your marriage is struggling. God, I need you in our marriage. Whatever your needs are, bring them to God. Once again, he already knows them. The power in prayer comes from bearing your heart to God and everything in it. And so tell God, I need your help. They need help. Who is they? They is everybody else. Pray for the needs of others. Today, they've called for a national day of prayer. We're going to pray in just a few minutes for that. We want to pray for the needs of our nation. We want to pray for the needs of our world, that God would minister to them. But even outside of the health issues, pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your extended family. Pray for your children. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your coworkers. Pray for anyone that comes to mind. You know they need help, and you know how. And so pray that God might give it. Lord, they need help. Thank you. It's always good to offer thanksgiving to God. Sometimes we forget that step. It's always good to offer gratefulness to God, to remind ourselves that we are to be grateful to him. To bring about gratitude in our own lives, start with offering it to God. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are doing for me. And thank you, Lord, for everything that you've promised to do. Thank you, God. If you have specific answers to prayer, thank him for it. If you've prayed for a job and then you have one, Lord, thank you for this job. If you prayed for healing, then the doctor gave you the all clear. Thank you, Lord, for this healing. If you've been praying for your struggling marriage and you realize it's the best it's ever been, thank you, Lord, for moving in our marriage. Whatever your need is, thank God for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That means I am praying in the power of Jesus. I am praying to the best I know how according to his will. That means, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm submitting all of this to you. And then amen. Let it be done. So be it. That is a pocket prayer. And what I like about this is you can do this throughout the day. See, on your way to work in the morning, you can say, Father, you are so good. You've kept me safe, God. You've provided this job. You've provided this car. When you're at work, you can say, Lord, I've messed up. I messed up this morning. I fell short with my family, whatever it is in your life. On your lunch break, you could say, God, I need help. I need you to move in my life. Throughout the afternoon, you could say, God, they need help. Would you bless them, Lord? Would you be with them? On the way home, you say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that you've given me. And then when you go to bed at night, in Jesus' name, I've given this day to you. In Jesus' name, the best I know how, I've lived for you. And in Jesus' name, my desire is to do that again tomorrow. Amen. You see how this simple prayer is something you can take with you. And if you go through the Bible and if you read the prayers inside, not every prayer contains all these elements, but they all contain part of it. This is a great summary of prayer, church. Now, what I'd like us to do is to take a few minutes. And Aaron, are you still in here? Will you come up here? And I want us to pray through this prayer. What I'm going to ask you to do is this. I'm going to lead us. Can we put the pocket prayer back up there, please? I'm going to lead us through each phrase, and then I'm going to give you a little bit of time. And in whatever ways that are appropriate to you, I want you to pray. And if you don't know how, and if you don't know what to say, just say this over and over again. Or any of the ideas that I've given as I prayed for you. But let's pray together, church. Can we do this? So I want to ask everyone, if you pray better with your eyes closed, go ahead and close your eyes. If closing your eyes would put you to sleep, keep them open. Whatever works for you. But let's take a few minutes and let's lift our hearts and our minds to Jesus. And Lord, we say this. We say, Father, you are good. Take a minute, church. Remind yourselves of all the good that God has done in your lives. If you want to pray in your spirit or pray out loud, that's okay. But pray about how good the Father is. I've messed up. Forgive me. Take a minute now, church. Remind yourself of how you've fallen short, of the sin that you've been carrying around in your mind because it's weighing you down. Bring it out to God. Look at it. And then watch as God throws it as far away from you as possible. Take a moment and confess to God that which is weighing you down. Thank you. as you've reminded yourself of how you've fallen short. Don't stay there. Don't stay reminding yourself of how you've fallen short. Receive the forgiveness of God. Hear God say, I've already taken care of that. Picture Him with His arms open wide to receive you as a good, good father would do. Father, you are good. I've messed up. Forgive me. I need your help. Take a moment right now, and whatever needs that are to you personally. Here in a moment, we'll pray for everybody else, but for you personally, the needs in your life, offer them to God. Bear your heart open to Him. God move. Is it in your relationships? Tell Him. Is it in your finances? Tell Him. Is it at your job? Tell Him. Is it in your family? Tell Him. Is it within yourself? Maybe you're struggling with anxiety or struggling with a broken self-image. Maybe whenever you think of yourself, you can't think of anything good. Tell God. And Lord, I need you. Father, you are good. I've messed up. Forgive me. I need your help. They need your help. Take a moment right now and pray for those around you. Pray for your family members. Pray for the people whom you love. Pray for the people you don't even know. Right now, they called the churches for a national day of prayer to pray for our nation and to pray for our world. And so do that. Right now, let's take a few moments and pray for the world around us. Pray for those who are trying to find a cure, a treatment of some kind for COVID-19. Pray for those who are ministering to people who have been affected by it. Pray for them, O church. Ask God to move in their lives. Take a moment, church, and thank God for all He has done in your life, for all He is doing in your life, and for all He has promised to do in your life. Offer up a heart of gratitude to God right now. Thank you. I've messed up. Forgive me. I need your help. They need your help. Thank you. Thank God that the prayers that you have offered, the answers have already been given. That God knows your needs before you even do, and that He has provided for them. Now we get to discover the ways in which God has answered our prayers. That's the fun part, church. In Jesus' name, remind yourself of the power of Jesus, the power of His name. Remind yourself of the cross, of the crucifixion. Remind yourself of your desire to live with Him, for Him to walk with you every day of your life. Don't let this be just a phrase you use at the end of your prayers. But in Jesus' name we pray, God. Like us to do. Can we play that? Can you play that song? Church, I want to ask you to stand. I want us to close out and worship together. Aaron's going to lead us, and then I'll pray us out and we'll dismiss from there before Aaron.
Light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, mending every heart. I worship you. I worship you, Lord. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Yes, you are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. Never stop, never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop, never stop working. You never stop, because you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. Yes, you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. 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 Yes, Lord, that is who you are. 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 'Cause you are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. And that is who you are. 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 That is who you are.
Yes, Lord, you are the way maker, oh God. We need the way right now, Lord. And Jesus, you said you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. God, my prayer is that for those who feel lost, for those who don't know the way, would you show them Jesus, God? Just show them the way. For those that find themselves right now in this time of uncertainty, in this chaotic time, when they don't know what to believe, they don't know what the truth is, would you show them the truth, God? Show them Jesus. God, for those who are feeling their lives consumed by fear or by anxiety, God, Lord, would you give them life? Give them Jesus, God. Just as what Jesus said when he walked this earth, he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Lord, give your people life, God. Lord, I thank you. You are our certain hope. You are the solid rock. You are our refuge and our strength, God. You are our fortress and our shield, Lord. You are that which is never going away. We never need to wonder where you are, God, because you are always with us. God, I pray for our nation. I pray for our leaders, God. I pray for those who are fearful, God. I pray for those all around us, Lord. I pray for the leaders of other nations as they are navigating this same thing, God. Lord, I pray for the church that's around the world, God. The most powerful community there is in this world, because you are in it, God. Because it looks to the cross and it looks to the resurrection, Lord. Would you bless them, God? Would you show them how to move forward? Would you show us, God, how to navigate these waters, God? And Lord, I pray, just as several had mentioned this morning, what a great opportunity for the church to minister to the world. What a great opportunity for the people of Christ to show his love to everyone. God, help us to do just that. and it looks different in all of our lives. And that's on purpose. That's a good thing. Help us how to show us, God, to bless, how to bless those we find ourselves in. God, I thank you for this church, God. Oh, God, I thank you for the church that's across the world, God. It's across time and culture. I thank you for Centerpoint, God. So good people here, Lord. The church is not this building. The church is the people. And this is a beautiful, beautiful church. And so, God, just as we found you here when we came here, Lord, God, I pray we'd find you in our cars because you're already there. I pray we'd find you in our homes because you're already there, God. I pray we'd find you at our workplaces this week because you're already there. I pray we'd find you in our schools. Our kids would find you when they go to school, God, because you're already there. Would you keep walking with us, God? We need you, Lord. We need you more today than we did yesterday. We'll need you more tomorrow than we do today. We need you, Lord. Bless us right now, God, as we go. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.